against it because of its wickedness. Instead, Jonah ran away from God, boarding a ship in Joppa headed for Tarshish. The ship met a violent storm sent by God. The pagan sailors, in fear, called out to their gods, obviously to no avail. So they asked Jonah to call on his God. The sailors cast lots to see who was to blame, and the lot fell on Jonah. Fear fell on them when they realized that Jonah was running from the God who created everything. Jonah told them to throw him into the sea. Instead, they tried to row harder, fearing divine retribution from the Lord. Eventually, they prayed and threw Jonah into the sea. Then the storm calmed and the sailors worshipped the Lord. Jonah was swallowed by a huge fish. He called on the Lord for salvation and after 3 days was vomited onto dry land. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Jonah obeyed and went to Nineveh and preached the message he was given. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And then Nineveh repented. Have you ever had a staff bonus? Sometimes bonuses are given out as the direct result of an employee's performance. Management will monitor staff's training compliance and productivity and then give out bonuses to reward good work. This encourages hard work and positive outcomes. Now imagine a department store where everyone gets the same bonus at Christmas. Everyone from the cleaner who started in October to the manager who has worked there for 25 years. Does that seem fair? Maybe those higher up the food chain, as it were, would expect a larger slice of the cake. I am sure we have all met people like this. But it is the owner of the store who decides who gets what and whether anyone gets a bonus at all. We will see in this passage how Jonah saw himself and Israel as more deserving of God's mercy than the Ninevites. So last week, as we ended verse 10, we saw when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. And then moving into chapter 4, which we're looking at tonight. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. To say Jonah was not happy at God showing mercy to Nineveh would be an understatement. Jonah even tells the Lord, this is why I ran away in the first place. I knew what you are like, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, relenting from sending calamity. This was in stark contrast to when Jonah was in the belly of a fish. There Jonah was glad that the Lord saves. He rejoiced that salvation comes from the Lord. But when God shows this mercy to Israel's enemy, for Jonah, this does not seem good. It's worth mentioning that at this time, Israel was doing very well. They seemed to be enjoying a time of prosperity. Yet spiritually, they had turned to idols and were not living as God's people under God's rule. But by contrast, Israel's enemy here were having a hard time, and it would seem that God was turning to them by showing them mercy. Jonah was wondering, why do they get a slice of a cake? Why does the Lord show them mercy? Jonah's action shows that he believed that the Lord's mercy was for Israel and not for the likes of Nineveh. So how about us? We here tonight, who are Christians, are glad that the Lord saves sinners. He has saved us and maybe loved ones who have turned to him. But before we judge Jonah and say he should have been more forgiving or I'd have forgiven the Ninevites, are we ever offended by God's grace? Jonah was offended because these pagans were evil and violent. That was the king of Nineveh's assessment of his own people in chapter 3. Are we offended when God saves murderers, sex offenders, or fraudsters who con people out of more money than they can afford to lose? You see, it's easy when a decent person comes to church and receives the good news. But to take the gospel to a bad person who we have no empathy for, now that's harder. Maybe we are not very different to Jonah. He felt his sin, Israel's sin, was forgivable. But these pagans, with their evil and violence, were surely beyond. Maybe there are people we would struggle to take the good news to. I remember a few years ago, I knew an evangelist who was based in a city here in the northwest of England. He wanted to start a youth work on a housing estate that had a bit of a reputation. And some Christians questioned whether this would be an effective use of his time, saying, "You will struggle to get anything off the ground there. Those young people will wreck the place. They will not be interested." Well, he didn't listen. He got something started, and it was evident that God was at work on the estate, and still is to this very day. God's work does not always follow human logic. Maybe sometimes God is doing something that we don't understand or doesn't seem logical. In these situations, let's take courage that God knows what he is doing and that God's mercy is wider than we can understand, knowing that the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, is opening eyes, ears, and hearts towards him. He is raising those who are spiritually dead. It is a miraculous work. It is God's work, and we are his servants. In verse 3, as we conclude this first section, Jonah asks God to take away his life because for Jonah it is better to die than to live like this. Jonah felt that the Lord, in showing mercy to the Ninevites, would mean Israel was losing favour with God, and it must certainly have looked that way to Jonah. Then the Lord asks Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry?" We then read in verse 5, "Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat under its shade and waited to see what would happen to the city." What is Jonah doing here? I believe Jonah is holding on to a small hope that maybe God will destroy them anyway. After all, the original message was 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Jonah knows that he himself would not have shown them mercy. He wants the Lord to stop being compassionate to them. He wants the Lord to be more like him. Jonah sits under his shelter on the east side of Nineveh, imagining that God would destroy the city. This indeed is not a good place to be, creating a God of our own imagination. If your God always agrees with you, I reckon that you are not following the true God. I knew a man a few years ago who used to point at parts of the Bible and say, "My God's not like that." He was a clever man, but he just could not accept by faith that the Bible was God's word. He'd say, "Nah, that's St. Paul's opinion." And he just couldn't accept that the scriptures was God's word. If rather you are reading the Bible and saying, "Please, Lord, help me, renew my mind, refresh my soul, fill me with the Spirit, help me to live for you," then I think that you are on the right track. Verses 5 to 9, We then read that the Lord provided a leafy plant for Jonah to give Jonah shade to ease his discomfort. Presumably this shade was better than the one that he had built. Jonah was very glad about this plant, but at dawn the next day we read that the Lord provided a worm and the worm killed the plant by chewing it so that it withered away. The Lord then provided a scorching east wind and the sun blazed on Jonah's head. And Jonah grew faint. And again Jonah says he wanted to die, that it would be better to die than to live. One thing strikes me here. Jonah didn't have to suffer outside the city. I'm sure he would have found lodging and a place to rest and recover in the city. After all, he was the prophet that brought God's word to the city. Instead, Jonah is pinning his hopes on a plant and a homemade shelter. Do we ever pass by an opportunity that God has provided because we are not in step with him and instead hold on to things that do not last? Often we need to let go of worldly things or things that were only ever meant to be temporary and embrace God's calling and God's work and God's blessing for the future. We then read in verse 9, but God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said. I am so angry, I wish I were dead. Then in verses, how does God respond in verses 10 and 11? But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? The Lord used this plan to teach Jonah a lesson. You see, Jonah was more concerned about the plant's fate than the fate of 120,000 people. The plant didn't even belong to Jonah. It sprang up and grew, and as quickly as it came, it went. So the Lord is saying, you are concerned about this plant that is not even yours. Should I not have concern for the people of Nineveh? As I was preparing this part of the sermon, a scripture came to mind from the book of Acts. From one man he made all nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. You see, we are all created and governed by God. The Lord was concerned for the city of Nineveh that had 120,000 who could not tell their right hand from their left. I believe this is a reference to the fact that these pagan people did not have the law and the prophets and the special presence of God with them that Israel had. This meant that the Ninevites were spiritually ignorant of God. So why should the Lord not be concerned for them, even for their animals? The book of Jonah finishes here. We are not told how Jonah responded to this lesson. I suspect that Jonah knew that the Lord was right. At the start of the service we read Psalm 117, praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Jonah will have understood that the Lord would reach out to the nations, but struggled with the fact that God was reaching out to an enemy of Israel who repented whilst Israel were failing to follow the Lord, falling into immorality and idolatry. Jonah was a work in progress, as indeed we all are. So in conclusion, what do I hope that we've learned from the book of Jonah in our series? When we think of this little book, our minds are instantly drawn to Jonah running away and getting swallowed by a huge fish that vomits him up. All is true and all this is correct, but the thing we have to learn from the book is that the Lord is merciful. He is merciful to the pagan sailors, causing them to worship him. He is merciful to Jonah, saving him from a horrible death at sea, giving him a second chance, and patiently teaching him, as we saw tonight. The Lord is merciful to the great city of Nineveh by not bringing destruction on them and causing them instead to turn to him. The Lord is more merciful than Jonah. He is more merciful than you, and he is more merciful than me. The Lord's mercy is so great that God the Son lived as one of us, a holy and sinless life. He laid down his life for our sins and rose again to life, claiming victory over sin and death. He ascended into heaven and will come back in power and glory. He will take his people to be with him, but those who have not believed will be lost. If you have not yet come to him, then come tonight before it's too late. He will save all who call on him, as we have seen in our studies in Jonah. If you have questions, we would love to talk to you about the Saviour. If you are already a Christian, let these precious truths sink in and let the Holy Spirit guide you and us as we seek to be his people in this fallen world. Amen.